You may be seated, and if you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. My subject, there's a miracle in the making. I want to dedicate this sermon to Brother Larry Pierce. Brother Larry got a doctor's report. He's going through some tremendous battles, and the report's not favorable, but we're going to believe God's report, and there's a miracle in the making. God has one for each and every one of us. God has a miracle for you. But the truth of the matter is, you must invest in your miracle. You must put your faith into action, and you must have expectant faith. What is the difference in faith and expectant faith? Expect God to honor his word. Expect your miracle. When Jesus finds expectant faith, miracles happen. I'm reading from Acts chapter 3. Jesus has been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He's put his blood on the mercy seat. He sent the Holy Ghost to empower the church. And now we're reading from Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts 3 and 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. He's asking for money of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. He's begging. He's a beggar. He has a license to beg. He's begging for money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them. Look at this word. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. I want us to look at verse 5 one more time. He, the lame man, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. My subject this morning, there's a miracle in the making. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the powerful testimonies we've heard that Jesus Christ, that he's our Savior, he's our healer, he's the one that calls us, he's the one that mends us when we're broken. He's the one, Lord, that meets all of our need. And so, Father, I ask you today to open our minds. Give us revelational knowledge. Give us expectant faith. And Lord, let faith rise as I preach your word. David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His words were in my mouth." Father, once again, that is my request. Let your words be in my mouth. Let them find their lodging. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. What is expectant faith? And how does expectant faith work? Well, I hope to answer that today, and I want to look at some of the miracles that Jesus did and how people responded to the miracle worker himself when he was here walking upon this earth. Jesus was in the temple one day, and there was a man there that had a withered hand. And the Pharisees asked if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath day because they wanted to accuse the Lord. And Jesus said, "If your sheep, if he fell into a ditch, would you get it out on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus said, "How much better is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day." Well, it's lawful to do good any day. Hallelujah. Now look at Matthew 12:13. Then he said to this man, Jesus said, "Stretch forth thy hand." Remember, he's got a withered hand. He stretched it forth, and it was restored like as the other. Notice that Jesus did not pray a prayer of petition to the Father. He didn't say, "Father, would you please heal this man?" No, Jesus gave the command of faith, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're to talk to the Father, but then when we pray for people, we're to give the command of faith in Jesus' name and say, be healed, be made whole. And the church world misses this. They don't understand the power that the name of Jesus carries with it. It's not our holiness. It's not our power. It's his power. And it's the power that's in the name of Jesus. Because when God raised him from the dead, he highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. And that name, Jesus, carries power in three worlds. Hallelujah. Jesus gave the command of faith, stretched forth that hand, and that man obeyed. He acted on the word of God, and he was instantly healed. Now, in the natural, this man could not do this, but he acted on the spoken word of God, and it brought a supernatural miracle. He put himself in agreement with the word of God, and he released his faith. Hallelujah. By faith, he moved his arm. All of a sudden, he did what he couldn't do, and the miracle working power of God flowed into that arm. Hallelujah. Why did that happen? It happened because he acted on the word of God. He didn't sit back and say, oh, Jesus, my arm is withered. I can't stretch forth my arm. Oh, no. He heard a word from the master, and immediately he stretched with all his energy that arm, and all of a sudden the power of God hit that arm, and it was made whole just like the other arm. He acted on the word of God, and that, my friend, is what I'm trying to do, is to get expectant faith into your heart. I am sent to preach the word of faith. That's my assignment. Your assignment is to respond to the miracle working power of the word and the name of Jesus. God expects us to act on his word. And when we do, and when we release our faith, then miracles happen. Miracles don't just happen, however. You have to enter into your miracle by taking a corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. Just like this body without the spirit is dead. But thank God we got the spirit. We got him. Hallelujah. The one that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life, the godlike life, the Zoe life, the life of God into your body, and you shall be healed and made whole. Somebody go on and praise God. Hallelujah. We've got the name above every name, and we need to use that name called Jesus. You know, the truth is you must invest in your miracle by putting your faith into action. Look at John 9 and 1. This is the story of a blind man. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did this sin? Did this man or his parents sin that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Now that word manifest is important. What are the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost? They are the manifestation gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God expects his church to be so full of his fire and his power and his glory and his anointing that the preacher can preach the word with signs and wonders following. You need to be in a place where there are signs and wonders following the preaching of the word. I'm going to heaven. My name is written in the book. That's the greatest miracle of all. Is your name in the book? Are you on your way to heaven? Well, you need to be in a place where miracles happen, because sooner or later, you're going to need one. Hallelujah. You don't need religion. You don't need a fashion and a form. You need the miracle working power of God. I'm so sick and tired of church growth seminars. I don't want to go to another one ever again. And if you're listening and you're in the International Pentecostal Holiness Church leadership, let me tell you, I'd rather have the power of God and the anointing of God and the glory of God. We've left our roots. We need to get back to holiness, and we need to get back to the power of the Holy Ghost and miracles and signs and wonders. The church was born in fire, and the church should live in fire. And I don't intend to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday when I can live in the fire of God today. Somebody go on and praise God. Hallelujah. This is a great story about the miracle working power of Jesus. Here's a blind man. He's sitting by the wayside and he's begging. He had a right to beg. The history tells us that he had on the beggar's garment. It was a red and white robe. It had white stripes on it, and it was issued by the Roman government. And that robe said that man has a right to beg. Society had written him off and said, he's a blind man. He's a beggar. Don't ever expect any more out of him. Society will write you off too if you let them. But if you make your way to Jesus, you can get your miracle. There's a miracle in the making. Say, this man is begging, but then Jesus comes along. So this blind man is sitting there. He's not going anywhere. He has no vision. He has no dreams. He is motionless. He is just sitting by the wayside when Jesus comes along. You know, Jesus tells the parable about some seed that fell on stony ground, good ground. And then he said, some fell by the wayside. I'm so glad. Woo! Glory to God that some fell by the wayside, because I was by the wayside when Jesus came by and touched me and changed my life. Did he touch you? Did he change your life? Then go on and praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. This man is motionless. He's not going anywhere. Jesus is talking to his disciples when they saw this blind man, and they said, Master, who committed this sin? Why is this going on? This man, nor his parents, that he was born blind. And Jesus answered, this man didn't sin, and neither did his parents sin, but that the work of God might be manifest in him. And then Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Guess who the light is now? He said, you're the light. He said, I'm going to leave a church. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to send my spirit to empower my church so that the works that I do, they can do. And the greater works, what's the greater work? Get people saved. Well, people have been saved in this place all the time. But he says, I want you to do the same works that I work, and I want you to do the greater works. So we don't need to leave anything out. We need to be so full of God and so having been alone with God. See, you pray your prayers in private. That's what Jesus did. And then when he stepped out and gave the command of faith, the miracle working power of God flowed out of him because he had been alone with God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Then Jesus spat upon the ground. How would you like for the preacher to spit on the ground, take some mud and make some clay and then anoint your eyes? Well, that's exactly what he did for this blind man. And then Jesus said, go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Now that word Siloam means sent. I read it to you. He sent him there. Why did Jesus send this man to that pool? The Bible says that he obeyed the master. He made his way to the pool, and he received his sight. Now, can you imagine this man? He's blind. He's trying to find the pool of Siloam. He's groping about in darkness. Every step that he's taking, he's saying, Jesus sent me. Jesus said, go. I'm on my way to my miracle. Hallelujah. He can't see yet, but he's trying to find his way there. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? And every step he's taking, he's talking faith. He said, I'm going to get to that pool. And when I do, I'm going to receive my sight. I'm going to reach that pool. And when I reach that pool, I'm going to be healed. When I reach that pool, my whole life, my whole world is going to be radically changed. Hallelujah. I've got a word from the master. I'm on my way to my miracle. I've heard from Jesus, and I am healed, and I'm headed for my miracle moment. Now, he's not healed yet, But you see, faith always begins at the point of hearing. Paul said, it is the word of faith which we preach. This man is talking victory before he ever got his miracle. Now, the devil doesn't want you to talk victory. He does not want you to start praising God and start declaring the promises of God. The devil wants to keep you where you are. And you'll meet some people in life, they have a religious demon. And they'll tell you the days of miracles over. Well, I want to tell you there's never been a day of miracles. There's a God of miracles. And there's a miracle in the making. And he has one just for you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. My Lord. This man is talking the language of faith. And the moment that the believer opens his mouth and starts talking victory, they are on their way to victory. You know, life had dealt this man some hard circumstances, but Jesus passed by and healed his condition. Do you wonder why I dance? Why I praise God? Because life had dealt me some tough circumstances, but Jesus touched me. And he healed me. Glory to God. And I just got to praise him. Hallelujah. They said, you're going to that church where that radical preacher is that dances all over the place. Glory to God. I can't help but praise him. If I did not explode, glory to God. Hallelujah. I got something in me. It's called the dunamis, dynamite, Holy Ghost power. Glory, 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 glory. You got it in you. Let it go and bless somebody in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Man's talking the language of faith. But I want you to notice that Jesus required this man to do something. He told him, get up from where you are and go. Get your faith into motion. Go wash your eyes. You do what you can do, and I'll do the rest. That's how miracles happen. Hallelujah. Jesus is always looking for faith. And when he finds faith, hallelujah, then Jesus goes into action. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you come to church just to hear a sermonette? Do you come to church expecting something from God? Have you been alone with God? Have you talked to God? Have you read your Bible? Have you prepared your heart, your spirit man, to receive your miracle? Are you ready for that miracle moment? There's a miracle in the making. And you need to enter into your miracle. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I love this. He is no respecter of person. If he's done it for one person, he'll do it for you. You have to enter into your miracle, however, with expectant faith. You got to do something. You've got to activate your faith. This principle is shown over and over and over in the Bible. God always responds to faith. But if you don't act on the word of God, you will never receive your miracle unless God just has pity on you and send somebody with the gifts of healing, and they lay hands on you, and you get a miracle. Now, God expects us to act on the word. To the blind man, Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. To the 10 lepers, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. To the man whose son was a lunatic, he said, bring him to me. To the centurion who said, Lord, just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Jesus said, go your way. Your servant shall live. To the disciples, when they fed the multitudes with the two fish and the five loaves of bread, he told his disciples after he blessed it, he said, take it and give it to the people. There's a sermon there. Hallelujah. To the man with the withered hand, Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. To the lame man at Capernaum, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. To the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Thy sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Get out of that lifestyle. Don't give yourself over to the devil. Don't give yourself over to the lust of the flesh. The devil only has three hooks. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He's got a treble hook, and if he throws it into you and you let him, he will drag you off into chains of darkness, and you will ultimately end up in a devil's hell. Jesus said, I have forgiven you. Now go and sin no more. Somebody gonna praise God. I tell you, that's sanctifying power in the blood. The whole Godhead is working. Elect according to the mercies of God. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus unto salvation. See, this is a great salvation. And when you get saved, all the chains begin to fall off. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin. All you have to do is love Jesus with all your heart, and the chains would automatically fall off of you. You know, to the men at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus said, roll the stone away. Look at this man of action. To the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, rise. To all those who are heavy laden, I love this, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Jesus was always working to teach people how to release their faith, how to activate their faith. They had to invest in their miracle. And you and I, we have to invest in a miracle. I thought about Jesus in those songs that I asked to be sung today. Jesus met death on three occasions. First of all, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was dead. And so Jesus went to Bethany. And when Martha found out that he was coming, she went out to meet him. And she said, Lord, if you had been here yesterday, my brother would not have died. In other words, she had yesterday's faith. She said, if you had been here yesterday, my brother wouldn't have died. But then she said, but I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it you. And Jesus said, Martha, your brother shall live again. Martha said, I know he shall live again in the last day, in the day of the resurrection. Jesus said, look at what he said in John 11:25. Jesus said, I am. John 11:25, please. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the blessed hope of the church. Oh, praise God. All of our loved ones that have gone on before, some things we don't understand, but we know there's a God in heaven. And I know when I get there, I'm going to see my brother. I'm going to see my sister. I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my loved one, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You're going to see your loved ones, if they died in the faith, praise God. It's going to be a glorious resurrection day, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might purify us. Hallelujah. Unto good works. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus makes his life easier to live. That's a real devil. You'll be tempted. That test, that trials. But the trial of your faith is precious to God. Just use it. And he said, after you've done the will of the Father, you shall receive the promise. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. For your promise. Hallelujah. So you got to enter into your miracle with expectant faith. Jesus stepped up to that tomb and he told those men there, he said, take the stone away. I want you to do what you can do, is what Jesus was saying. And then when you do what you can do, then I'm going to do what only I can do. Oh, my God. And they pushed that stone away. And Jesus steps up to the tomb. I like what the Bible says. It said he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he had been bound like a lot of people that come to church, they bound. They can't get free. But Jesus, I love this. I believe when I got saved, I believe that the Lord spoke this to the devil. He said, loose him. Loose him. Loose him. Let him go. Glory to God. He said, loose him. That's what he said. The devil had you in chains of darkness. But the devil never made a chain to which Jesus doesn't hold the key. Jesus is the chain breaker. Has he broken any chains off of your life? Then go on and praise him. Go on and thank him. Go on and exalt the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord. So Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And then he met the widow of Nain, and her only son was dead. I want you to get this picture. Coming down the road in one direction was a funeral procession. I can see the procession. The people are crying. They're mourning. Their hearts are broken. This widow has already lost her husband, and now she's lost her only son. And so the funeral procession is coming down the road in one direction, and coming in the other direction is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's a procession with him. People are shouting. People are praising God. The lame are walking. The deaf can hear. The blind can see. And they're just having a hallelujah, glory to God time. And all of a sudden, these two processions collide. Death and life. And Jesus sees this woman weeping. Her heart is broken. And he reached over and touched that coffin. And when he did, resurrection power flowed into that little boy, and he sat up. Can you imagine such a miracle? Hallelujah. See, when you hear the word of God preached, and you see a demonstration of God's miracles, then you're supposed to start making up your mind that I'm going to get my miracle. I'm going to make my way to Jesus. What a miracle. It looked like all hope was gone when these two processions met. But all of a sudden, there was a miracle in the making, and a miracle took place. Hallelujah. He's got one for you. He's got a miracle for you. Then on another occasion, Jairus, that's what Brother Ray's saying about. The ruler of the synagogue, he comes to Jesus. He falls at his feet, and he said, Lord, come to my house. My 12-year-old daughter is dying. And then someone comes and says, don't trouble the master. There's no hope. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus turned to Jairus, and he said, fear not, only believe. Thy daughter shall be made whole. Fear is a miracle killer. Now notice what happens when Jesus arrives at the house. The Bible says that all the people, they were weeping. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the mother and the father, and he said, weep not, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. And the Bible says the people laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. My brother, at 57 years of age, he died. My daughter asked me one day, she said, Daddy, I've seen you pray prayers when the doctor said there's no hope. And I've seen God heal people many, many times. She said, why can't you go and pray for Uncle Howie and heal Uncle Howie? I said, sweetheart, those are gifts of the Spirit. I don't control them. They're manifestations of the Spirit. But I can tell you one thing. My brother, he gave his heart to Jesus. And my heart is not troubled at all. I know I shall see him someday. I know there's come a resurrection morning. The Lord showed me a vision of him. I saw him in a beautiful field. There were flowers everywhere. He loved flowers and the birds and nature. There were flowers everywhere. And he was jumping up and down like I do. He said, look, Jerry. Look, Jerry. Look, Jerry. I'm free. I'm free. Look, Jerry. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Ramoka. Hasha. Glory. Hallelujah. He's free. He's free. He's free indeed. She said, I pray that those that has given me where may be with me where I am, Father, that they may behold my glory. Every loved one that's ever gone on, they are beholding the glory of God. They're with Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord, what a Savior. My Lord. Miracles don't just happen. People laughed him to scorn. Look at Luke 8:54. And he, Jesus, put them out and took her by the hand, calling, saying, "Maid, arise." The Bible says her spirit returned to her. And Jesus said, "Give us something to eat." I love that. I mean, here is a supernatural miracle. And then God shifts over to the natural. When God gives you a miracle, he expects you to live your life with expectancy. He expects you to live a clean, pure, holy life to the best of your abilities. He expects something from you. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're looking for a city whose building maker is God. But while we're here, we're the salt and we're the light and we're to live like it. Hallelujah. God is a great God. Feels a miracle killer. Jesus raised her from the dead and then said, "Give her something to eat." Miracles are the operation of God. And miracles are the cooperation of man. When God gives you the miracle and the chains of sin fall off, you got to cooperate with God. You got to enter in to the miracle. It's so much more waiting for you than just being saved. Hallelujah. God wants to deliver you. He wants to break every chain, every shackle. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. That's what he wants. He wants his church to be filled with power, filled with anointing, filled with the glory, filled with his presence. That's what the anointing does. It brings his presence. What is God's presence? It's the miracle working power of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the healings of God. It's his presence. And when you get his presence, you get everything that's in him. Hallelujah. So go and praise him for his presence. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. My Lord. Man's part is to do what we can and then to expect a miracle with expectant faith. When God performs a supernatural miracle in your life, he expects you to do what you can to help yourself. And there are some things that only God can do, and there are some things that you can do, and you need to do what you can do so God can do what only God can do. Sister Doris, I went out and looked at that song. It was 11 years ago that on YouTube. And I went back and did the math. This is 2021. That was 2010. I had gone through open heart surgery. And my report from the doctor was not a good report. Half of what they did had shut down. And I said, "God, I believe you'll heal me." I wasn't even expecting what that doctor said. And God spoke to me, said, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory." Well, I went back to that hospital in 30 days. And this is 2010. This happened in 2009. My heart had bypassed itself with collateral arteries. But in my miracle came later. That's what I want you to see. He was working on my miracle. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you. The Father is working even now. And I did the math because I wanted to, I'm listening to that song and I'm using my faith, but I didn't realize it till I went back and heard the song. Jerry, God was working on your miracle. And Sister Doris was singing about it. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 3. I didn't forget the man there in Acts chapter 3. He's at the gate beautiful. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're about to go into the temple. There's a lame man there, and he's a beggar. Now, notice what Peter said and what he did. Acts 3 and 4. Look at this. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he giving them heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. He didn't get up quick enough to satisfy Peter. Immediately, when he lifted him, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Look at verse 5 again, because this is what I want you to catch today. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This man was begging for money. That's how he made his living. He's expecting to receive some money. Peter said, I don't have what you want, but I got what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he was healed. What healed him? It was faith. It was his expectant faith. He exercised his faith. He invested in a miracle. Of course, Jesus healed him, but this man used his faith. He got up. How did he get up? He exercised his faith. Then Peter lifted him up. He invested in a miracle. And the Bible tells us exactly how he was healed. Peter said, I don't have any money to give you, but I got a name above every name, the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Jesus had been crucified, raised from the dead. 3,000 souls had come into the church. This man had heard something about Jesus. And when he heard that name of Jesus, his faith shifted. My Lord, he knew he was in a good place for a miracle. The people, the man was healed, and the people, the Bible says, they were filled with wonder and amazement that what had happened to this lame man. And Peter said, why do you marvel at this? Why are you looking on us as though by our own power and holiness we made this man to walk? God has glorified his son Jesus. He's alive. The God has glorified his son whom you slew on the cross. You killed the Prince of Life. But God has raised him from the dead, and we are his witnesses. Are there any witnesses in here today? Are there any witnesses? Then we ought to expect a miracle. There's a miracle in the making, one just for you. The Father's working even now. Your prayers have been heard and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Church, Jesus is alive. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And he has a miracle with your name on it. But here's what I want you to see. People are always, oh, I wish Peter was here. I wish John was here. I wish those early apostles were here. Well, Jesus is here. And this is what I want you to see. Peter tells us what it was that healed this lame man. Look at Acts 3:16. The Bible says, and his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, yea, the faith that is by him, has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. Peter didn't heal the man, and he even tells us that he didn't heal him. He asked the crowd, he said, why are you looking on us? As through our own power of holiness, we have made this man to walk. And then Peter tells us it was through faith. It was through faith, not in the man, but in the name of Jesus. I see a lot of miracles, and God has one for you. But I know one thing. It comes through the name of Jesus. Man is only an instrument, but God expected this man to release his faith, expectant faith. Expect a miracle. God has one for you. Let us stand. Sister Doris, come on up here and sing that song. Brother Ray, come up with her. Now, you just heard a sermon, or you just heard something that didn't affect you. What are you going to do with your faith now? We see miracles all the time in this place. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to this song. Release your faith, and whatever your need is from the Lord, you can come to the altar. We'll anoint you. Release your faith today. Say, God, I'm expecting my miracle. Hallelujah. I know some of you fighting sickness and disease. Come get your miracle. I'll anoint you in the name of Jesus. I believe God with you to watch God work.
Your prayers have been heard,
and the answer's on the way.
Come talk to the Lord. Put your faith in action. Step out. Say, God, here I come. I'm expecting something from you, God. I've heard the word. You've spoken to me, God. I'm on the way to my miracle. Hallelujah. Glory. Sing it, church. Come down. You want to come on up here? I'm going to walk by and I'm going to just anoint you in the name of Jesus and give the command of faith. When I do that, just like Peter, God's going to do the miracle. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. The Lord knows what you have need of. There's a miracle in the making. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive your miracle. Look at it. In the name of Jesus, receive passion. Receive your miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, rise and walk. Be healed. I command that man. Be healed. Jesus. Glory to God. I command that Paul. Be healed. Lord, you heal my heart. If I pass this, come on, bypass it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you came for a miracle. You put your faith in action. Receive. Lord, you know the thought in Jenna's heart. Take your hand, please. Put it right down on her stomach. In the name of Jesus, let me heal. Glory, diverticulitis. Get out of this body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive your miracle. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, the name, through faith in his name. May that man whole, I speak the name of Jesus, be made whole. Hallelujah. Glory. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Lord, you know the need. You know the cry of the heart. You know I lying down, I rising up. Now, Lord, I say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive your miracle. Glory to God. Lord, you brought Milton a long way. Keeps coming back. Come to exalt the Lord. He knows the power of the name of Jesus. I say in Jesus' name, be healed. Be free. Be free. I command every chain of darkness broken off of your life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh. The answer's on the way.
There's a miracle in the making.
Don't be embarrassed. The Lord's waiting on you. He wants you to step out and make your way to this altar. Your miracle is waiting. Who am I talking to?
Challenging for that doctor, but it's not challenging for you. I've seen a lot of miracles, but I also know that God has in the body people. Y'all step back a little bit. I'm going to step right here. Nathan, come join in with him. Brother, come on down here. All of you, come on. Gather around. Brother Cooper, come on. All the men in the house that want to come, that believe in miracles, come. I want my healing. I want my miracle now. I want it right now. I want to go back to that doctor that said it's challenging, and I want him to see that thing is gone, and he can't explain it. They wondered, they said, they were amazed a notable miracle had taken place. I'm ready. If you'll anoint me in the name of Jesus, I receive my miracle.
I just want us to stand in His presence.